thoughts. The two are connected. Today's daf is Vavasha Daf Kuf Gimel. Today's shir and every shir throughout this week has been sponsored by Henry and Mindy Olinsky, Zecher Nishmas, Mira Bazucher Sassman, Mindy Olinsky's mother. The family should continue to have a nechama, and the zechus of our learning should be for an aliyas nishmasa. We are holding at the beginning of the seventh parak of Maseches Vavasra, which is on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to discuss if someone promises to sell a base core of land, do we count ditches and rocks in measuring that base core? And if we do count ditches and rocks, how large can those ditches and rocks be in order to be counted in the base core? We're going to compare this to a Mishnah Maseches Arachin that talks about an entirely different circumstance, but also related to land, and that is that if a person is makdish a steachuza, so there is an assumption of there's a set price of how much you can be poded it for based on the amount of years to the yovel and based on the size of the field. So we're going to discuss how the ditches and rocks affect the field with regard to being poda a field that is a stay achuza. The Gemara is also going to discuss that since the Mishnah says that if you have crevices in the field that are less than 10 tefachim, they just get measured together with the field, we're going to give exceptions to that rule, that sometimes they're not measured together with the field. For example, if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, but maybe they're extremely expansive, they're extremely wide, so that maybe would make it not get measured with the field. The Gemara is also going to discuss many cases where we could have a suffix that even though in terms of the amount of rocks and the space over which they're spread, they should be measured together with the field. But if they're situated in an unusual manner, which makes it particularly difficult to plow between them, then maybe that would make it that they do not get measured together with the field, even though, strictly speaking, by the dimensions, you would have assumed that it would get measured together with the field. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah, we're going to discuss that the Mishnah had said that if you have a rock that's less than 10 tefachim, it gets measured. So the Gemara is going to say that there's a way that even though it's less than 10 tefachim, the rock would not get measured together with the field. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about a person who sells a particular field to somebody else, and then they come to measure the field, and it turns out the field is not the size that it was supposed to have been. It may be larger, it may be smaller than what they had agreed to. So when do we say that you have to pay for that extra, and what do you have to pay, and when do you say, no, zacha, that's what he sold him, and therefore just leave it the way it is. That's going to be the Mishnah, and the Gemara already is for tomorrow. So let's begin at the Mishnah over here on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We are beginning Perek Beis Kor, the seventh Perek of Maseches Vavasra, where we're going to discuss a lot of different circumstances where a person sells karka to somebody else, and then they find parts of the karka that are not Roy Lizria, or they find that the karka is not the size that it was supposed to be. So when do we say the Lokeach loses out? When do we say the Mocher loses out? And another topic that this parak is going to discuss, a person sells a half of a certain field without saying which half, so how do they divide that field? So that's what the parak is essentially about. So says the Mishnah, Omer l'chaveiro, a guy tells his friend at the time that he sells him a karka that he's selling him base kor offer. He's selling him a karka that is the size of a base kor. Base kor is 30 saw that you could do, that's offer. Offer means you could actually plant in a base kor worth of land on Imochalach. That's what I am selling you. If in that field there are holes in the ground that are 10 tefachim deep, and we'll see that are wide, that are 4x4 tefachim wide, or in the field there are rocks that are 10 tefachim high, and they are also 4 tefachim wide, the halacha is that since these rocks and these crevices are significant, they're so deep and they're so wide, so when you come to measure the field, you don't measure those crevices together with the rest of the base core, you have to give him a clean space that doesn't have nekaim, or the whole mekach is going to be batel. And the reason is, since through those nekaim, it's going to, why can't you just say, okay, I'll give you a little extra on the other side? Why is it that it's going to be mevatel the mekach? Because since there are Nekayim that are mafsik right in the middle of the field, it's going to enhance his, it's going to increase his tircha in taking care of that field and in being choresh that field by a significant margin. Person doesn't want to pay for one field where he's going to have to be matriach and treat it like two or three fields, where he has to move his equipment over a gaping hole, from one side to the other. You might as well own two fields and ship your equipment from one field to the other. Person pays a premium in order to have one field in one location. Pachus mikan, but if the holes are less than 10 tefachim deep, or the rocks are less than 10 tefachim high, nimdad nima, then you can measure it together with the field, and he's mekabel those sections of the field as part of the base core, because there's no such thing as a field that is perfectly straight. So obviously it's understood that this is something that he's accepting as part of the base core. Now the Rashbam had said this idea, I just threw it in when reading this line of the Mishnah, that these 10 tefach deep things are 4x4 tefachim wide. That was the shita of the Rashbam, and the Rashbam explains because with such a shear it's considered chashuv with regard to Shabbos as well. So that's what makes it chashuv in order to be considered its own distinct place. But less than the width of 4x4 tefachim, it would be measured together with the field. The Ramban and the Rashba quote that the Yerushalmi is not sure about this. If these were 10 tefachim deep and were less than 4 tefachim wide, is it or not? The Rashba writes from the Yerushalmi, it sounds like the Rashbam. The Ritva quotes a Yesh Mefarshim that it's not true, that it doesn't need to be 4 tefachim wide, and the Meiri quotes this as well, that there's no such requirement that it needs to be 4 tefachim wide. Meiri says the Chachmei Atzarfatim write that it's enough that it's only 3 tefachim wide. It's unnecessary for it to be more than 3 tefachim wide. Oh, where did they get the number 4 tefachim? I know where they get the number from. That's Hilcha Shabbos. That's basic shear of a reshus is 10 tefachim height and 3 tefachim and 4 tefachim of width. 3 tefachim is probably lavut, that with 3 tefachim it would just be considered nothing. But if, as we said, it's not nimdadima, you have to give, and if you have a shear chashuv, it's not nimdadima, and therefore the whole mekach is going to be batel. That also was a sheet of the Rashbam. The idea that when we say ein nimdadima, it means the entire mekach is batel, that he can back out on the sale entirely. However, there are several other shitos in Rishonim in terms of how to understand what that means. Einim dadnima. The Rashba says what you do is you have to give him karka chalaka. You have to give him flat land where there are no holes, there are no significant crevices. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, Perech Avches, Halacha Aleph, that the lokech takes these parts without paying for them. And that's the Ramah as well, because they're batel legabe the karka. But that's only if they don't have a shear of a rova akav. If they have a shear of a rova akav, they're not batel legabe karka, they're considered another field within the field. But if they're batel legabe karka, so good, you get to take them and you'll get extra space. So you're getting more land than you had bargained for. And in Chinami, it's not as great because there's a break in the middle, but that's how the Rambam understands. The Rosh in Siman Aleph over here says you don't have to give them a perfectly flat land that doesn't have any holes in it. You give him a shear base core without the Nekayim, even if it's around the Nekayim, and you're not able to say that you don't want the karka that has breaks in it, as long as it's the break is not across the entire Orech Hasada. Meaning the Rush says very simply, you don't get those holes. The holes go, the Mocher keeps the holes in the field, you get everything, but you get a full base core, meaning you're compensated for the space that those holes take up with more space. What about the Tain of the Rush? I might as well own two different fields if I have these gaping holes in the middle of the field, and it's mafsik in the middle of the field. Rush says, no, it's not mafsik in the middle of the field. It doesn't run across the entire field. If it ran across the entire field, then it would be impossible to move your equipment from one side to the other. But it doesn't run across the entire field, so you could still move your equipment around the hole or around the rock, and that's what you're expected to do. That's the shita of the Rush. And a fourth shita is the shita of the Ravid. The Ravid is quoted by the Shita Mekubetzes that the Nekaim stay in the Rishus of the Mocher, and we force the lokeach to buy those nekayim separately, because the mocher will have no ability to use these nekayim, which is the least charitable reading from the side of the lokeach. So the Rashba has what to say about the Shitas HaRavid, but that is the Shitas HaRavid. Says the Mishnah further, this whole din is only if you told the guy, I'm selling you a base kur, which sounds like I'm selling you karka that you can actually plant in. But ve'im amar lo, if he tells him, kib base kor afar, not that I'm selling you a base kor afar, but I'm selling you something that in size is the equivalent of a base kor afar. Base kor afar means that it could actually be planted. Kib base kor afar means it's a piece of land that is the size of a base kor afar. Then afilu hayusham nikayim amukim yosem yasar tfachim, osam gvon yosem yasar tfachim, harelu nimdadim. Then it doesn't make a difference. There could be things that are 10 tfachim deep, 10 tfachim high. That all gets measured together with it, and that is part of the base core. But even over here, Nimdad Nimba is only up until Arba is Kavin and not more, the Rashbam points out. Once the hole in the ground is Arba is Kavin, or the rock is Arba is Kavin, it's not a piece of this field. It is an independent field, and therefore even in that case, it would not be included. The Ritva writes in the name of his Rebbe that it's Dafka Ad Shira Saratvachim, but if it's Gavoa or Amuk more, then it's not Nimdad Nimba. And that's according to our gears in the Mishnah, according to his gears in the Mishnah, it says afilu hayusham nekayim amukim asara. Our gears says afilu hayusham nekayim amukim yosem asara. Very difficult to understand the sheet of the Rebbe and the Ritva. That only if it's mamish exactly ten tefachim. That's what this whole line of the Mishnah. That's what this whole halacha in the Mishnah is. But if it's more than ten tefachim, as soon as it goes over that line of ten tefachim, so less than ten tefachim has one din, more than ten tefachim has another din, and exactly ten tefachim has a third din. Very, very difficult to understand that would be the case. But anyway, okay. So now the Gemara is going to, in order to understand what the Gemara is going to do, it's important to get a little bit of background. There's the din in the Mishnah that we just saw was that if you have nekayim that are 10 tefachim deep, they're not measured together with the base core. So the Gemara is going to discuss: are we talking where it's full of water and it's not roi lizriya, or even if it's not full of water and it's roi lizriya, you can plant in there. Nevertheless, it still doesn't get measured together with it. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah Maseches Arachin Daf Chaf Hey, which is said with regard to a different halacha about being poda a field from Hegdish. But when we discuss that halacha, we also talk about crevices in the field that are 10 tefachim deep. So the Gemara is going to say that in that case, we're talking about nekayim that are full of water. So since it's talking about nekayim that are full of water, the Gemara is a suffix. What about over here? In our case, would we say the same? But in order to understand the Mishnah Arachin, it's important to be somewhat familiar. The Torah tells us, V'misteach huzaso yakdish ish la'ashem, v'ya'erkecha lefi zaro, zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. That if a person is makdish, a field, to hegdish, and then he comes to be poded from Hegdish, if it's a stay mikne, meaning it's a field that he had purchased, so when he wants to be poded from Hegdish, he pays whatever it's worth, and that way he's poded from Hegdish. If it's a stay achuza, however, meaning it came, it was a field that he got as Yerusha me'avosav, so that's what the pasuk is talking about, that he has to be poded every chomer. Chomer means a base kur for chamishim shekel kesef. There's a set price that every base kur, the pidyon is for chamishim shekel kesef. Yeah, that's if you're coming to be poded when you have 50 years till the next yovel. You're coming to be poded at the beginning of the yovel year, so you pay chamishim shekel for the kur. But if you're coming afterwards, you only pay based on that ratio for number of years, you know, what would equal 50 shekel for the full 49 years of usage. But if you otherwise, you pay lufi cheshbon, a sela and pundion for each year that you're coming to be poda for. So the Gemara Maseches Erechin tells us that's only bizman shayovel noeg. Bizman sheina yovel noeg, you're not poda, you're only poda fields based on their actual value. This whole din of doing this fancy cheshbon of 50 shekel kasa for the base score, that's when we had yovel. So if someone who's makdish's field during yovel itself, it's machlokas Rav and Shmuel Maseches Erechin. According to Rav, it's kadosh and you pay 50. According to Shmuel, it's not kadosh at all because you've already arrived at the at the finish line. You've already arrived at the yovel. So anyway, so Tznana, so we have a Mishnah in Maseches Arachin Dav Chaf Hey. A person is a Makdish Sadeh, who is Makdish Sadeh, who's a Bishas Yovel, during the days that yovel is knowing. And now he wants to come be Podeh's field. Nosein lo lebezera chomer saorim chamishim shekel kasef. He gives to the gizbar of Hagdish for a field that is the size of a base core where you can plant a chomer saorim, meaning the size of a base core, 50 shekel kasef. That is a pasuk in the Torah. We don't need a Mishnah to tell us that. Here's where the Mishnah adds a chiddush. Hayu sham nikaim amukim asar tfachim. If in that field there are crevices in the field that are 10 tfachim deep, oslein gavon asar tfachim, or there are rocks that are 10 tfachim high, they are not considered part of the field to be nifta based on that ratio of chamishim for a base core. They're instead redeemed based on what they're actually worth, based on their actual value, because they have a chashivus, so they have their own chashivus. They're considered an independent entity. They're no longer considered a part of that field. But if it's pachos mikan, the rocks and the crevices are less than 10 tfachim, nimdadimba, good, so then it gets measured together with the rest of the field. And all of this is derived from psukim, the midrashim derive it from psukim. So the Gemara is going to ask, this din, that nekayim that are less than 10 tfachim, that they're measured together with it, the Gemara assumes nekayim that are 10 tfachim deep are not nimdadimba, is coming to tell me that the whole steachuza, you're not able to be podelech, and that you're either poda it based on the field, the rules of steachuza, or not. But over here, you're able to be poda the nekayim alone, even without being poda the other field, the rest of the field. And it's also telling us that you're only poda those nekayim based on their shavius, based on their worth, and not based on the cheshbon of chomer saorim. So the Gemara asks, you're only poda them based on their worth. V'amai, why is it based on the worth? Kachu banpei nafshayu, they should be kaddish in their own right, and they should have. You should be pod them based on base course or mechamishim shekel, meaning it should be considered as if you were makdish two steachuzas, the steachuza that is the whole and the steachuza that is the area around the whole, and each of them should be niftes based on the rules that the Torah gives. V'chitem kivin d'lav base kor lo kachi. So you can say, no, how big are these holes? The holes aren't the size of a base kor, and that's why they're not kadosh, because the Torah says chomer explicitly. So anything less than that is not going to be kadosh to be poda with based on the cheshbon the Torah gives. Vatanya, but no, the Brisa says as far as what the Torah tells us, Torah uses the word sada. It says v'mgol yigalas hasada hamakdish oso. So sada matamalomer. Why does it have to say the extra word sada? It could have just said v'mgol yigal hamakdish oso, that the makdish is going to be goel it. So why does it have to say the word sada l'fisha nemar? Because the pasuk says that the shear of the pidyon is zera chomer saorim bechamishim shekel kesef. So ein li ela shehikdish beinyan hazeh. So I would only know to learn from this pasuk that you have these special dinim of pidyon when you are makdish exactly a base core, a full base core. Minayin the rabbis lesach v'chatzi lesach sa'a tarka v'chatzi tarkov. Tamalomar sada mikol makom. How do I know that a lesach, which is a half of a base core, or a chatzi lesach, which is a quarter of a base core, or a sa'o, or a tarkov, which is a half of a sa'o, or a chatzi tarkov, how do I know all of that is also included in this halacha, that you still do the pidyon based on the cheshbon determined by the Torah? Because of the word sada. That's what the word sada teaches us, that it doesn't matter how large or small the field is, it's all done based on the shear of chamishim for a base core. So now we're back to our question. Why is it when you're poda the nekayim independently, you're not poda based on the value that the Torah sets forth? So Amar Avuk v'Barchama, Hachab nekayim melei mayim askinan, delav b'nei zriyanin. Ooh, so there it is. This is why we brought the whole thing. That in the Mishnah and Arachin, when we talk about nekayim, we're talking about nekayim that are full of water. And since they're full of water, they can't be used for planting. So that's why we're not going to use the cheshbon. The whole cheshbon is only when you have land that's usable for planting. Some of the Rishonim write, the Rashba, the Ran, that we're talking that it's full of water in a way that doesn't help the field in any way. Because if it's full of water and it helps the field, because now you have what to irrigate the field with, you have when the animals are working, they can take a sip from the water, in some way it's considered an enhancement of the field, then that would be part of the field. It would not be considered independent of the field. And the Rashba also writes that even if they're full of water and they're 10 tefachim deep, if the width is only only tefach, they would be nimdad in mekarka because they're considered the nagane da'ara, that less than a tefach is considered as if it doesn't exist at all. Good, so now we have a raya from the Mishnah that we're talking about nekayim that are full of water that are not royal Israel. Dekanami, how do I know that the Mishnah over there in Arachin is talking about where it's full of water, where these nekayim are full of water? Dekatani dum yudislaim, because the Mishnah says two situations, slaim and nekayim. So just like slaim, you can't plant on rocks, you also can't plant in these nekayim. Shmamina. So we see that it must be that we're talking that it's full of water. Ihachi, whoa, if the case is they're not royal Israel, and that's why they're not nifta bashir of chamishim lebeis kor, so then afilu pachs mikanami, even if the depth of these nekayim was less than asar tefachim, we should also say that they're not nimdadima, and you should be pod lefi shavim, because they're also not royal Israel. The Rishonim ask, what on the lashon of Ihachi, sounds like this kasha is only after we answered that they're full of water, but l'chora, it's a kasha anyway. The slaim that are always not royal Israel, why would we be nimdad b'pachas me'asar? Meaning, why does 10 tefachim matter if anyway it's not royal Israel? So it doesn't have to be malay and mayim. So Tosus further asks from the answer of the Gemara, where we say slaim are shidri da'ara, that are like the spine of the land. They're just like these, they're just part of these imperfections that go along with any land. So you see that we were asking about slaim as well. Meaning, forget about meaning what the Rishonim ask over here is, we're saying like, oh, we have a kasha now because we said that the Nekayim are full of water. Forget about that the Nekayim are full of water. What about the Slaim? Slaim aren't full of water. Slaim are rocks. They're rocks above the land. So obviously these are not plantable things. Yes, Nekayim full of water, now you're Mechadesh that Nekayim can't be planted. Slaim can't be planted whether they're full of water or not. So we didn't even need the Ihachi. So the kasha should have just been on slaim alone. But I guess now that we said now that we've established that we're talking about Nekayim that are full of water, we're able to ask from both Nekayim and slaim. So the Gemara answers, Hanu negane da'ara mikru. Those Nekayim that are less than 10 tefachim are considered to be the regular cracks in the land. Shidri da'ara mikru. They're called like the protrusions of the land. And no land is perfectly flat, and that's why they're just considered part of the land. Okay, so now that we said this Mishnah in Arachin is talking about where these Nekayim cannot be planted in, Hachamai, what about our Mishnah? What's the case? Are we talking about where it's not royal Israel? And just like by Hagdish, or that they are royal Israel. Summer of Papa, Afal Pishain Malayim Mayim. In our Mishnah, we're talking even if they're not full of water, and they are royal Israel. Still, our Mishnah would say that it's not considered part of the base core that the guy sold you. My Taima, why not? Ein Adam Rotsa Shitin Mosa B'Makom Echav Yerolok Shnayim Shloshim Mekamos. Like we explained before, a person doesn't want to pay money for a single field, and then he's going to have to bring his equipment. It's as if he has two or three different fields where he has these crevices that are splitting up his field into different pieces, and it's going to be much harder to manage and to plow such a field. That's only though if a person is coming to buy a field, where we say that obviously a person wouldn't want it split up in such a way. But it could be that there are certain circumstances where a person doesn't mind it being split up. The Rishonim point to a Gemara in Bamitzia, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, where there are other circumstances where there is no such umdina, there's no such assumption that we're going to make. Says Gemara further, Maskva Ravina. So Ravina asks Rav Papa, how could you say that we're talking about where these Nekayim are royal Israel, Vare Dumi de Slaim Katani? The Nekayim are supposed to be similar to the Slaim, Mas Slaim de Lav Ben Israel Ninu, just like the rocky area of the land is not royal Israel. Avhaninami. So the Nekayim are also not royal Delav Ben Israel Ninu. They're also not royal Israel. So answers Gemara, Ki Katani Dumi de Slaim, Apachs Mikan. You know when we can say that the Nekayim are like the Slaim? When it's less than 10 tefachim deep, that's where we say that even though not royal Israel, they would be nimdad with it. But otherwise, there is no basis for comparison between the Nekayim and the Slaim. Period. So now, the Gemara had said that even, the Gemara is going to say that even though it's said in the Mishnah that Nekayim that are less than 10 tefachim deep are just part of the field, there are circumstances where that's not true. Amrav Yitzchak, Turashim Sha'amru, Beis Arba Es Kavin. The din in the Mishnah, that rocks that are less than 10 tefachim are measured together with the field. That's only if it's altogether, it's only Beis Arba Es Kavin. That's the shear where you could say that there's no field without rocks, and you just have to accept that there are going to be some rocks in the field, and that's what you bought. But if it's larger than that, you're not mekabel those rocks into the shear of a base kur, because no one is mochel that amount of rocks. That is just too much for a person to be mochel. Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, v'hu shemuvla'in b'chameshes kabin. That's if those four kabin of rocks are spread out in a field over a large area, to the point that they're spread out at least in an area of five kabin. Since if they're spread in a field that's less in the area less than five kavin, they're considered like one rock, and they're not batel to the field. For those four kavin of rocks to be measured as part of the base core, you have this other condition. Those four kavin have to be spread out over the majority of the field, and we don't see them as a single rock. Not like Rav Ukva that says it's enough that they're spread out over five kavin in order not to be considered a single rock. No, they have to be spread out over the majority of the field in order for it not to be considered a single unit, a single rock. By Rabbi Chiya Barabbas raises the following safek. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you need the pizur in rove of the field, it needs to be spread out in the majority of the field, which, by the way, if the field is 30 sa'a, the majority of the field would be 16 sa'a. So certainly in a way that they're spread out evenly over the whole sa'a, rove kav, you have 16 rive kav that are together, four kavin, that's considered pizur. But what about the following case? Ruban bimiuta umiutan biruba mahu. What if most of the rocky area, 9 rive kav of the 16, let's say, are not spread out over an area of 9 sa'a, they're over an area of 16 sa'a, of 7 sa'a, 16 of the sa'a of rocks is over an area of 7 sa'a, umi utan, 16 of the kav, and a smaller, and 7 of the rive kav are beruba, are over 16 sa'a of the field. So, mahu, what's the din in that case? Do we say that since the 4 kavan are mufuzar over the rove of the sada, that's enough? Or do we say that since the majority of those that are spread, of those 4 kavan are found in a tiny area in the field, it's not considered to be mufuzar? What essentially he's asking is, we're saying mufuzar, yeah, from one extreme end to the other extreme end, where these rocks are, it could cover a giant swath of land, but it could be bunched up in specific locations. So when it's bunched up in specific locations, do you still say that that's called mufuzar? So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved, no answer. Now, by Rabbi Yirmiyah raises the following suffix. As far as these rocks that are found in the field, kisher, what if the rocks are arranged like a circle? So it's not 10 tefachim deep, and it's not, but the arrangement of the rocks make it impossible. Kisher mahu, what's the din? Do we say that since they're spread out over the majority of the field, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or the Chameshes Kavan, according to Rav Ukva, they're just measured together with the field? Or do we say that, come on, it's impossible to plow when you have a circle of rocks right in the middle of the field? Normally, you would just plow next to it, but it's totally enclosed. So that's the Shaila. Or Kishura Mahu, what if they're all in a straight line? Do we say that since the entire Harisha is blocked by a straight line of rocks, maybe that's no good and that's going to break it up? It's stadnin mahu. What if it's set up like it's stadnin? It's stadnin, the picture is the second picture, I guess the third picture in Rashbam, the one in the skinny lines, right? That it's set up in such a way that it's like horns, that it looks like it's protruding in two different directions. Do we say that they're not measured together because you can plant between the two rows? Planting between those two rows is more difficult than planting in a single row? Or do we say that no, you could plant al yidei el chak, you could still be chorish al yidei el chak, you could plow al yidei el chak, you could work around there on the Derech Chak. Or Derech HaKalson Mahu. What if it's zigzagged? The rocks are in such an unusual position, like the picture, the last picture in the Rashbam on the page. Over there also, do we say it just makes it impossible? So essentially what the Gemara is raising is all of these cases, meaning is it all about the numbers? Is it all about the amount, how much space is actually taken up? Or is there something else over here? Is it, do we also take into account the how it's laid out? So the Gemara leaves that. Teku, we leave that unresolved as well. All of these are bias of shitan, unresolved. As far as halacha, obviously, as in most cases of teku, major machlokas rishonim had a pasuk over here. Okay, the Mishnah said that if the slayim are less than 10 tefachim tall, they are nimdad nimah. So Gemara is going to say, sometimes, even though they're less than 10 tefachim tall, they're still not nimdad together, they're still not measured together with the field. Tana, im hayas sela yechidi. The Bryce says that even though the Mishnah says that a rock less than 10 tefachim is measured in the shear of a base core, if there was next, right by the field, one rock that was outside of the field, afilu kol shehu, even if the size of that rock was less than 10 tefachim, ein nimdadima. It does not get measured together with the base core, because only a sela that's in the middle of the field is bottled to the field, not if it's off to the side of the field. V'im hayasamach lemeitzar, afilu kol shehu, ein nimdadima. And if the rock was standing in the field, but it wasn't in the middle of the field, it was near the border of the field, even if it was only a kol shehu, it was only a little bit off the ground, does not get measured together with the rest of the field, because it cannot be said to be bottled to the field unless it is surrounded to the field. Similar to what we were talking about yesterday at the end, when you have something off of the end, like the ritzuos, that there's a difference between being caught in between two things versus being off at the end of something. In between two things, you could say it's muvla, it's swallowed up in that which surrounds it. When it's off to the end, you're not going to say the same. By Rav Papa, mufsak ofer benatayim mahu. What if there's rock in the field that's not right by the border, but there's dirt less than 3 tefachim between the rocks and the border of the field? What do we say? Meaning, do we say that that's also considered near the border and doesn't get measured? Or do we say, no, there's dirt, it's just a very small amount of dirt between me. How far off the border do you need to be? Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. By Ravashi, says that if you're going to say that a hefsik of dirt between the sela and the border of the field is considered a hefsik, and therefore that would make this rock measured with the rest of the field, what about the following case? What about afar milamata, the tsunma lamala? What if you have the rock is right by the border of the field, but there's dirt underneath the rock on the border, and sunma milamala, the rock is on top of that dirt. Or afar milamala, there's dirt on top of the rock, vitsunma milamata, and the rock is on the bottom. Mahu, over there do we say that it's considered to be muvla in the afar, and therefore measured together with the rest of the field? Teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved as well. So a number of tekus, and now we move on to the next Mishnah. And this Mishnah is going to talk about you sell a field, and then they come to measure the field, and it doesn't measure what it was supposed to measure. So what's the halacha? So a person says to that base korafar, ani mochalach, mida bechevel, I'm selling you a base korafar, and we can measure it by rope, by a measuring rope. They used to have like a tape measure, but it was in rope form, and it would turn out that you're being mekabel exactly to give him that exact size of land. So you were so precise. So piches kol shu, if it turns out to be a little less than a base core, yinaka. The lokeach can say, okay, so let's adjust the price based on the fact that you gave me less than you said you're going to give me. I was only mekabel to enter into this agreement based on the fact that I assumed I was getting the entire area of land that you told me about. Hosir kol shu, yachsir, and if it's a little bit extra, the lokeach is going to have to give it back, because they were so specific about exactly what was being included. The reason that we don't say that it's batal mekach, normally we have dinim of ona'a, that it's off by six, but eino na'a bekarkos, right? So we have a din also by that if it's a ta'us in a midah or in a mishkal, if I say that I'm selling you, five of a certain item and there are four of them, so then we just say bitul mekach. It's something that so easily could have been counted. So that's a mekach ta'us and the whole mekach is void, even if it's less than 1/6. So over here also, luchar, we should have said bitul mekach. So the Rashbam in Dibra Maskel Piches explains in two ways why that we don't say bitul mekach. First of all, he says only by metaltlin we say bitul mekach, naipa karkaos, because a person is willing to buy karka even if it's not exactly the precise measure that he wanted. Second of all, it's ki'ilu the mocher said to him that he's selling him a base core based on the midas hachevel, and if it's chaser, he'll add to him, and if it's yeser, he'll return to him. Meaning, it's as if that was all part of the deal. Meaning, when you say midah bechevel, that's exactly what it means, that it's all part of the deal. The Balei HaTosfos, Tosfos in Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, is mechalik between the mocher saying that he already measured it and he's tricking the lokeach, versus a case where he hadn't yet measured it and turns out that he was off on the cheshbon. So it could be that the whole din of Rava is only if he measured it and he was tricking the lokeach. That's the din of Rava that we learned of Tzad Yom Ralph, that there's bitul mekach when you're off by a little bit because it's davar shevamida. But something that he couldn't have been, we all knew he hadn't measured yet, so you're not going to say bitul mekach when it's off by one because we didn't expect anything different. The Rimi Gash suggest that Rava's statement that any davar shevamidos chozer doesn't mean that the mechira is completely void, meaning we're misunderstanding Rava, so the whole kasha is not a kasha to begin with. It means that you machzir es ha'onah, that you give back whatever the chesaron was. So we've had so far, and there are many more approaches, but four approaches to how to reconcile our Mishnah with Rava's statement on Daf Tzadi that when it comes to selling something b'mida, that you have to be absolutely precise, and if you're not absolutely precise, it's going to be a bitul mekach. Okay, says the Mishnah further. V'im amar, but if the mocher says to the kohen, yeah, I'm selling you base kor, but he then adds, hein chaser, hein yaser, more or less, whether it be a little more or a little less, afilu pichas rova l'sa'a, ohose rova l'sa'a, higiu. Even if he's way off, he's off enough that the size of a rova of a kav for each sa'a, or more, whether it's he gave him too much or too little, the halacha is the sale is binding, whether the mocher, no matter who the winner is, no matter who the loser is. Because we assume that that's the amount that a person would be mochel when he's kona a base sa'a. But that's only if he says hein yeser, hein cheser, where it's tali in mechila. Without saying that, we assume a person is makbid on the shear that they determined. So you have to say the Mishnah is talking about that it's not called the base core unless it's that's the halacha, that if you say hein cheser, hein yeser. But yoser mikan yasa cheshbon, if it's off by more than that, it's off by more than a rova l'sa'a, then the lokeach makes a cheshbon of whatever was added to the base score and whatever is and you have to iron that out afterwards. Mahu machzulo, what does he return to him? What does he pay the lokeach? So he gives him back ma'os. The lokeach gives the mocher the value of the land. If he got extra land, he gives him money for the value of the land. He does not give him back the land itself. Why? So we'll see soon. V'imratza machzulo karka. But if the mocher says that I dafka want karka back, so then the lokeach can say, okay, so I'll keep the size of the land that you gave me, and you'll take back whatever land was extra. So since they decided that the sale was going to be for a base court, hein chesre, hein yeser, so really you should give him back the karka. Lama amru machzulo ma'os. Why would it be that the lokeach can say, I'm going to give you back the money, I'm going to keep the extra land. The deal was for a base core. Why is he allowed to keep the land and just give him money? Liyapos kocho shel mocher. Now, that's all for the mocher's advantage. That if he wants, he could be mekabel the karka itself, and if he wants, he could take back the money. Why do we need to be miyapa kocho shel mocher? Because it's very challenging. You're going to give a person back a small piece of like extra land that was thrown on the end of the field. What's he going to do with that land? There's nothing to do with a tiny extra strip of land. So we want to be miyapa kocho shel mocher. im shemshir basada beis tishakavin. If you left over in the field, you added in the field a size of a 9 kavin, meaning beyond what they agreed to. Ubegina, if he sold a gina that's the size of a sa and he added beis chatzikav, an extra half a then you can insist, I'm only giving back the karka, I'm not giving you back money. Why? Because those are significant enough pieces of land in their own right that the mocher will have what to do with it. When you return to the mocher, when you say that you give him back karka and you don't give him back money, it's not only, let's say he gave you more than a rova extra. It's not like you can say, okay, a rova I'll give you back, and whatever else was extra I'm going to give you money for. No, once you have to give back the land, you have to give back the entire land that was beyond the base core that he had sold you. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the Bayilahu in the Gemara.